All right. Well, tonight we are going to take a look at the concept of waiting on the Lord. Everyone who walks with the Lord will be faced at some time or another with a season of waiting. That could be waiting in a short period of time. That may be weeks, might be months, years, could be decades. Now, we're intended to go from glory to glory. It's the Lord's intention that we would progress and mature. The tricky part is that there's gaps in between those breakthrough moments. And in each of those, in the process of maturing, there are those moments that we can look back to and say, that was the day, that was the moment that God broke through. And I know there was a change, there was a shift, something happened. But when those things aren't happening yet, there's that moment that we have to wait. And we have to wait. And I don't remember reading about waiting when I signed up for this thing, but it's a part of walking with the Lord. And so we go through these periods of time where God actually thinks it's a good idea for us to wait. To turn down the volume, can't necessarily hear his voice like we used to. To shift thing, to put it into a lower gear, kind of slow things down sometimes, and to let us sit in the waiting room. Now, how many of you love sitting in a waiting room?
Well.
We got one person. Awesome. Waiting rooms are horrible. I mean, when you go to a waiting room, you see a lot of the different ways that they try and make it a little more bearable, but it's rough. The truth is that it's rough, and it's rough because you have to wait. And waiting isn't fun, but whatever is on the other side of that waiting room, whether it's the doctor calling you or you're waiting for a flight or whatever, have you ever seen people like completely laid out at the airport because their flight is delayed or something like that? That is the epitome of the waiting room that I'm thinking. Just bad layover, delay, that type of a waiting room. And whatever's on the other side of that waiting room is why you're there. It's not your turn yet for potentially a lot of different reasons. The conditions may not be right. It may not be your turn, whatever the different circumstance is. But the truth is that when God gives a calling, a promise, a situation, it requires our participation as one of the ingredients. There's a key piece, and that is our participation. We do our part, but God has to do his part too, and he's faithful to do it. Just not always on our terms, not on our timetable. It's almost guaranteed. I can almost say with certainty, it will almost always be longer than you would have planned. So we have to buckle down for that. We have to get into the scenario of hurry up and wait. So what we do while we're in the waiting room, while we're waiting to God for God to move, is important. It's a way that we posture our hearts. It's just not a passive thing. It's to be an active thing. And just like a waiting room at your doctor's office or whatever, there's a lot of things that you could do while you're waiting that can help make it a little bit easier. But those are not always productive. They may be permissible. But it may not be the best thing for you. It could just get you into a distracted, a dulling, and even counterproductive to what the Lord may be trying to do. So one thing is for sure, we have to be patient. So let's take a look at this verse that James gives. This is going to be the key verse that we're looking at tonight. James 1, 3 and 4. I'm going to focus on verse 4. James 1, 3 and 4. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Perfect. Perfect. Like, perfect, perfect. When I read that, that's kind of kind of scary, because normally it takes a long time for things to be perfected. But when you look at the word, think for our terms, think more mature, think complete. That's what we're going for in this. So I'll rephrase it of how this could be read with the word of perfect, kind of translate it to our language a little bit better. So this is kind of what James was saying. Let the process of waiting patiently on God to move on your behalf have the maturing effect on your character, attitude, fruit of the Spirit, and circumstances that God was intending to take place when He so lovingly called you to the place of waiting. That way, you'll be more mature to steward what He gives you, and it won't wreck your whole life in God. So, what does it mean to wait on the Lord? So, God is not mean, nor is He stingy. If you remember a few weeks back, God longs to be gracious. He's the one throwing you the party behind the couch, giggling, waiting for you to walk into the room and turn the lights on and lavish His gifts on you. And He's got goodies from heaven that He's intending to give to you, to all of us. And the Scripture says that God will not withhold any good thing from you, not one. That's a promise. God says that He will not withhold one good thing from you. I want us to take a look at the 84th Psalm in verse 11. It says that the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. And then here it is. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly, who are walking with God. So what that means is that He provides, He protects, He gives us the necessities, and that would be enough. But He also blesses. He gives us over and above what we need. He's the one who gives us not just what we need, but He adds to it. He gives us the blessings, the extra. God, I think, would be the double scoop ice cream type of one who, you know, when you're in the line, he would go for the double scoop, I think. I like it. So like I said, God has blessings that He wants to give us. He has callings, gifts. He has relationships that would bless us. He has circumstances. He has promotions, promises, and all the things that are like it, that are waiting for us. He's determined that He's going to give it to us. So, going back to that verse, you know, I just gave a whole bunch of things, the callings, gifts, blessing, the promotion, that thing that we're waiting on. He said He's not going to withhold any good thing. So my question is, why haven't I hit the mega multiplier ball yet? Right? And there's a good reason for that, because it would wreck my life. I might have all the finances, but right now it's not for me to have that. I don't play the lottery anyway, but it would wreck my life in God, and God doesn't see it appropriate because it would wreck my love relationship with Jesus. Now, I'm going to give a quick illustration. It's going to sound kind of absurd, but just stick with me, because I think it puts the point across fairly quickly. So let's say that there's this guy, right? He likes and loves his wife. He likes to surprise her. He loves giving her gifts and writing love notes and tokens of his affection, of his commitment to her, and she loves him too. And so he does the whole bit. He surprises her with little notes in the morning before she goes, and he knows the type of flowers she likes, and as opposed to the other types. So he gets the daisies instead of the roses. She really liked roses, but he gives the daisies. And there's certain things that she likes one way and not the other, and he does those things because he knows that it's meaningful to her, and it communicates the affection and the love that he has for her. So one day he's thinking, he's like, what can I do to take it to the next level? I'm going to like go for the best thing that I can do. So he says, I know it. I know what I'm going to do. It hit me. I've got my eureka moment. To take this to the next level, I'm going to introduce her to another man. Now, that sounds absurd. That's crazy talk. He would never do that. It would be counterproductive for the guy who loves his wife to introduce her to another man. And that's kind of the same scenario. Some of these things that we would like would end up distracting us from God if we were to get the thing that we were actually looking for or think that would make us satisfied or fulfilled. It would actually be counterproductive because God knows our capabilities. He knows our heart. He knows what we can handle, what we're able to steward well. Because when it comes down to it, we're going to have to give an account for the things that we steward. And that would be really mean of God to give us a whole lot that we wouldn't even be capable of stewarding, because there would be a lack, a big gap of what we weren't even able to steward. So He gives us that which we're able to steward. Now there is still our part to do it, but it's suffice to say that God is intentional on giving us what we can steward, what we can handle, and where we're at in life right now. And so that $1 billion that I'm looking for would be a wreck to me. It would not be good for me. And I know that I can trust His leadership. I know that I can trust what He's doing in my life and the things that I have and the things that I don't have as a part of His communication to me. And that I'm right where He wants me to be, and I'm progressing in the way, and He's not going to withhold any goodies from me. It says that He's not withholding one good thing. So some of those things that I know I'm waiting for, and I know you're waiting for, seems like now would be a good time, Lord. Like yesterday would have been awesome, but He says no good thing will He withhold. And so there's some reasons. Of why that hasn't happened. So there's a lot of variables in our natural and spiritual worlds that would be that are hindering that thing to take place. Now, of course, it would be impossible to name every single thing, but I want to try and categorize them, narrow it down a little bit to a few broad categories. First one, I think one of the reasons why those good things that we're expecting, that God has promised, has spoken, either through the Word or through the Spirit that we're waiting on, one of the reasons that it hasn't just happened yet, that breakthrough hasn't come yet, one of them is just our maturity. We've got some stuff that we still need to learn. And it's not necessarily sin issues. Of course, that is going to be a barrier if we've got some sin issues that we're just willingly not pointing and calling it sin and repenting of, but not necessarily just sin. It could just be something that the Lord has yet for us to learn. And so maturity could be one of them. Another one, faithfulness. We might need more practice in an area. You know, the Bible says that if we're faithful with little, that we'll be faithful with much. But before you get the much, you've got to be faithful with little. And there's some baby steps. We've got to crawl before you walk. And there's some stuff that we have to get practice in. And it is so kind of God to allow us the practice when the stakes are low. So where we wouldn't take on something bigger than what we could chew, and wreck something significant in our life or other people's lives as a result of our immaturity or of our lack of faithfulness. Another one, wholeness. Someone or something needs to be added to the equation. Now, just like the faithfulness issue on our part, it might be that someone else that's a part of the equation is completely aloof and not paying attention or whatever. And that is a part of the wholeness that may or may not be progressing in the timetable that we would have hoped. So someone or something needs to be added to the equation. A lot of times that's also healing. We may just need some healing in areas that are not whole yet. And God wants to address those things, because if we would not have healing in those areas, it would just be a cycle of continuing coming back up again. And so it's the Lord's goodness that He would withhold those things until it's time. Whether it be maturity, our faithfulness, our wholeness, and sometimes just isn't time yet. And that's a rough one because, you know, with maturity, we can put some things in place. We can, you know, get some accountability. We can put some systems in place. With faithfulness, we can, again, systems in place, accountability, make plans, get those things going. Some of those are things that we can control, but the timing one is rough because we can't control it. And I find that one almost the hardest one to deal with, but I know that God will not withhold one good thing from me. And that patience is having its perfect work. It's a maturing work in me. And so God has a purpose for it. I've had to come to the place, and I'm still coming to it, where I trust His leadership. God, I don't understand what You're doing. You think this is a good idea right now for me to wait? It's rough. I can't control it, so I'm just waiting. But it is important on what we do. So here we are. We're waiting on the Lord to move. So what do we do? You know, just like in the waiting room at the office for your doctor's appointment or whatever, you've got a lot of options that you can do. And it is important what we do. So again, one of the things that I can fairly confidently predict is that everyone who is currently waiting on the Lord has some options. And it's going to take longer. Again, that timing issue. It's going to take longer, probably 99 times out of 100. It's going to take longer than what we would have wanted. And again, we can't control that. So the best thing is to hunker down, to settle in, and decide how we're going to position ourselves. How are we going to position our hearts? Now, there's good news about this waiting game. When we wait on the Lord, and patience is doing that maturing work in us, there's some promises as to what happens for those who wait. Not just wait, period, like you participate in the waiting part. That's passive, but participate in a biblical way. And there is a biblical way to wait, and there's a not biblical way to wait. So I want to talk about that. One of those promises is that we're going to be strengthened by the God that we're waiting on to act. He said that He would act on our behalf. It's taking some time, a little bit longer than what we would have hoped. But in the midst of that waiting, there's that moment when you think your heart's just can't take it much longer. You think your heart's going to fail. And it's on its last leg. God promises that He will strengthen our hearts if we wait on Him. There's a verse in Isaiah 40 at the very end, Isaiah 40, 31. This is the one that you see on the cool t-shirts with like the gnarly looking eagle. It says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength." And then it talks about mounting up with wings like eagles and so on. But what it's talking about is waiting. This hurry up and wait and do it biblically. Do it in a way that is not there's a way that I've waited that is, if I could go back and do that over, I know I would, because looking back, I had a fair amount of doubt that God would actually do it, and quite a bit of anxiety. And both of those aren't good. The Bible calls them sin, to have anxiety, to have doubt. Well, those are the natural byproducts of waiting. If we wait, we're going to be anxious for it. And if it hadn't happened yet, we're going to start doubting. Those are natural things, but it's not biblical and it's not good. And we have to call it what it is. But there is a biblical way to do it. So how is He going to strengthen us? Well, what He does, this maturing work, that as we wait, He equips, He trains, and prepares us for what He says that He was going to do. Now, when you think about it, and I'm an analytical guy, but when you analyze it, it's actually a really smart plan. The way that He does this is He looks at the situation, He surveys the all the different variables, He looks at me and says, "He's not ready yet." He says, "Pause on whatever's going on." He makes me wait. And as the pause button is pressed, He's preparing me. He's equipping me so that when He hits play again, And it's time for that thing to roll, for that breakthrough, for that promise to happen, for that promotion, for the blessing, for whatever. Fill in the blank. I'm going to be ready for it. So what a kind thing that God would do. He doesn't give it to us when we're not ready.
Yeah.
He waits, does his maturing work in us, and then he does that thing that he said he was going to do. So there are some stories, and I just thought it was fitting to share a testimony of this waiting. There's a lot that I could think of, but one of my waiting on the Lord stories, kind of painful. So I want to share some of my pain for those of you who are in a waiting season right now. You know, misery loves company. So we're going to take a look at one of my waiting stories. And when I was thinking about this and preparing for this message, I remember the painful status of waiting. For those of you who have Mac, and you know, you can relate if you have Windows, but you know that beach ball that spins? That is probably the most painful thing to look at, especially when it like continues on, because it means that it's processing. And then, you know, for the Windows, you see the bar is processing. I hate looking at that. I'm just so glad that the modem days are gone, when we didn't have to wait on the internet to dial up. Oh, that was so painful. Okay, so one of my waiting on the Lord stories. 2007, so back up a few years. I knew I was in a season of transition. Now, transition sounds really fun. But once you go through some transitions, they still sound fun, but you've got a little bit more disclosure on what transition means. And so I look at that word a little bit differently now. But back then, I looked at it and was really excited. I was going to be graduating from university here in Arlington. And I wanted to hear from God of what was next. New graduate, broad horizons, open doors. Lord, here I am. Send me. What is it? So I'm graduating from the School of Business Administration. At that time, I was working full-time selling cars. What an interesting job, selling cars. Which meant, because at that point in time, the economy was just about to tank, and people weren't coming to the dealership as often, so I had a lot of time to pray. And that was really good. So I was asking God what I would be doing professionally once I had my degree. I was excited to be the first college graduate in my family, and to go on to these new heights and levels in business and in my professional working life and seeing what that was. So I asked God, what is it that you want me to do? I'll do anything. What is it? And a little background, I had done sales for all of my college years. It took 5 years for me to graduate college because I was working full time, and the majority of that was sales. So I had a background in sales, could talk with people, build some relationships. I knew I was good at that. I knew I was administrative. I just didn't want to do whatever, though. I just didn't want to get a job at some company doing business stuff. And when God had something for me, so I asked, you know, Lord, what is it? And he said the funniest thing to me after asking. He said that he wanted me to go into teaching. A little bit different career path. Those 5 years could have been spent differently, but I look back on that and say, well, maybe if I would have asked a little bit earlier, could have saved some of that time, but he said I was to go into teaching. So 2008 comes, I graduate. And immediately after graduation, I start substitute teaching here in one of the local school districts. And promptly got a connection with one of the administrators. One of the administrators is about to open a brand new high school that was focused on business administration, career technology. I knew the principal who was opening it up. She was one of my former administrators. She recognized me. I recognized her. And I was like, Lord, this is it. The things are lining up like I thought they would. So we have this conversation. She says, I didn't know that she was opening the school at the time. So I see her at the central office. We talk for a moment, and she asked what I was doing there. And I said, I'm dropping off my resume. You know, I heard they're opening up this new school for career and technology. I just got my business degree. I think this is perfect. I'm sure I'm ready to go, all the credentials. She said, well, you know, I'm actually the hiring manager. I'm the principal. So I'm like, perfect. This is the Lord, ready to go. So I drop it off, and so I start waiting, and I didn't get the job. Bummer. Really confused. So I asked God. He spoke. I followed the plan, got the connection, line up, office, administrator. Didn't work out. So at that time, I was pretty bummed. Felt rejected, like I missed it, like maybe you didn't say teaching, like what rhymes with teaching or sounds like teaching. I mean, maybe it's preaching, teaching, preaching, all right. But no, he said teaching, and so I was confused. And so at that point in time, bills were still coming in, and I did have some student loans and stuff that were approaching, because you get to like put them off until graduation. Graduation happens, you're happy, but then the bill comes in, you got to pay it. So I need a job. Well, my good buddy Luke happened to be working at a subprime finance company collecting on bad loans. Whenever I refer back to those years, I say that I worked in finance. It sounds a lot better than bill collecting. So, let me paint the picture of what Luke and I did. We sat in cubicles every day, 8-9 hours, staring at a computer screen with a headset connected to a phone. We had to find working phone numbers for people who were trying to ditch town, who were trying to get lost. So people who were trying to not be found, we had to try and find numbers. We had to call them and let them know these people who had stopped paying their car loans had their car repossessed as a result. And then after the vehicle was taken from them, still owed thousands of dollars. We had to explain to them that they owed that money. That unfortunate reality yielded some choice words back at us. So that was a very interesting season. So again, the context, I was a sales guy. I walked on the sales floor when I sold cars. I struck up the conversation. I built the relationship. I sold the car. It was very social, very different than sitting in a cubicle. Sitting, not walking, calling unwilling people and getting cussed out. So the way this story could have ended was I worked this job for a week, got the call back from the principal, and started the job. It did not end up like that. That season of waiting was spent waiting on the Lord. He said teaching. I did my part. I got the credentials. I did the thing that needed to happen, dropped the resume off, made the connection. I was waiting on God to do his part. So I had to wait on God. So shortly after I settled in and decided this might be a while, you know, when you can, if you've ever sat in a waiting room, you get the person who just comes in and they sit and they might kind of look around and analyze and see the scenario and realize everyone's been there for a while. They have a little bit different posture. They're not just, they're ready to sit for a while. So that's what I did. And so out of the kindness of the Lord and out of just my experience, I asked a really key question. And thankfully, the Lord was very gracious to answer. I decided I was going to be at this spot for who knows how long. And however long it was, I was going to be there until the Lord got me a teaching job. I was going to do my part. And so I said, well, Lord, I'm here. What do you want to teach me? What do I have to learn?
Great question.
He had some things to say. This is what he said. You need to learn patience with difficult people. Gentleness in tough conversations. How to love hard to love people. And you need to learn faithfulness to complete what you start. Interestingly, that matches up with a lot of the fruit of the Spirit. So I kind of looked at that and said, okay, so I'm lacking in the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, you love me so much that you want me to call people who are trying to ditch town, who are unwilling to pay, and to do this thing. So what a kind thing for you to do, Lord. That was on the really good day when I was filled with faith. The other day, I was really not happy about being there, but I settled in, and I remember writing these things down on a sticky note and posting it to my cubicle. And when it got tough, this is what I was looking for. I need to learn how to be patient, how to be gentle, how to love, and how to be faithful. So during that time at the job, I was intentional to focus these areas of my heart, and it turned out that the Lord was doing this within me. I'm so thankful that God speaks, because he said he had some specific things that he wanted me to work out. I asked, he said it, I wrote it down, and I started the process, and he started his work within me. So working there, while working at this, while I was working in finance, I still applied every school year. I applied to the districts, I applied to different schools, and didn't pan out, but I knew that it wasn't just because I had missed it. It was because the Lord had some stuff that I needed to work out, and that he was going to work out in me. So I got that teaching job word back in 2007, and it wasn't until 2011, at the last minute, like days before the school year started, that I actually got the teaching job. I was so pumped. There were so many prayers that had gone into it, and so many calls and being cussed out so many times and sitting in that cubicle and wanting to tear my eyes out that went into waiting on the Lord. But it wasn't a passive thing. It was an active part. It was a participation. And so I got the job. And I was so excited about that. It was perfect timing for my family. It was right when Ava was about to be born. Babies mean more expenses. I was not making a whole lot in finance. And so this was a perfect windfall, and it was awesome. Perfect timing, as it turned out, that the Lord was also waiting on time. So what are the results for those who choose to wait on the Lord? I've got a list of 10 benefits. You know, you hear the story, you kind of get the idea. You decide, I'm in. If waiting is tied with some benefits, then I want to do this. I want to wait. I want to wait biblically, because there's some goodies that the Lord is going to give me. So I've got a list of 10, and we're going to go just bullet by bullet real quick. So first one. God says that those who wait on him will not be disappointed.
Amen.
When it's all said and done, you'll look back and not be disappointed. He says that those who wait on him will not be put to shame.
Yes.
Those who wait on him will have their hearts strengthened. Those who wait on him will renew their strength. Those who wait on him will be satisfied. Those who wait on him will have the desires of their hearts met. Those who wait on him will inherit the earth. Those who wait on him will be exalted. Those who wait on him will be avenged. Those who wait on him will be blessed. That's a partial list that I just did in a real quick word study. There are so many things that are tied to waiting biblically that the Lord has for us.
Good.
That if we do it biblically,
right,
we got goodies coming for us. And it's going to be such a good thing. And
right,
the Bible doesn't lie. It says that we won't be disappointed. Psalm 27:14. I love this verse. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He'll strengthen your heart. Wait on the Lord. Sounds like David is really trying to convince somebody, and that he knows from experience what it is to wait on the Lord. It sounds like he's trying to convince us, you won't be disappointed. It's tough,
yeah,
but you won't be disappointed. So what does it look like, real quick, to wait on the Lord? It's all about hearing from God. It's all about doing what he said last. Be actively doing or working to what he last told you. Position your heart patiently, not anxious, and expectant, not doubting. Those are probably two of the hardest things, to wait and continually convince yourself that you have to be patient and not anxious and expectant. Like, God, you're really going to do the thing that you said you're going to do, and not doubt. Next one, intentionally worship Jesus, especially when we don't feel like it. And then another thing is, don't fight the process, because you just make it longer. So don't fight the process. Let patience have its perfect work. Paul said in Philippians 4, he said it this way, that I've learned in whatever state that I'm in to be content. I know how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, you'll commonly see this verse used in like sports or some activity or something that's really hard. And that's cool. I think that's okay. And I think the Lord's fine with that. But I think that's a secondary application. What Paul's really talking about is that he knows how to wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
Whether he's in prison or in the palace, he doesn't allow his circumstance to dictate his connection with Jesus. He was about his connection with Jesus. And the only way that you're going to do that is if you're content, if you're patient, and if you're expectant, if you have faith in it. So his worship and his prayer life does not get stopped because he's in a season of waiting, because he's in chains. It doesn't stop. It's not dictated by his circumstances, whether he's walking to the next town or serving the brothers at whatever city. It doesn't stop. He knows that in whatever situation, he knows that Christ is the one who strengthens him while he waits, while he pursues Jesus. Now, I personally am coming off one of these waiting periods right now. I'd been wrestling with the Lord on this thing that I just felt so distracted. I just couldn't nail it down. Like, Lord, why am I so distracted? I just feel so discontent. And a few weeks ago, the Lord was gracious and showed me why I was discontent. It was because I wasn't content. It sounds so simple, but the point was, I grew up in this capitalist, opportunistic culture that says, wait for the next big thing. Wait for the next opportunity. Capitalize on whatever situation you can and keep getting and getting and getting. And I have to learn, and I'm still learning, and this is going to be until I die probably. I have to learn to be content. To not be looking for the next biggest, best thing, the next thing. But whether in chains or being promoted, I have to be content, and I have to worship the Lord in whatever season that I'm in. So again, we're going to close out. I want to review. How do we wait biblically? We've got to hear from God. It's absolutely important. Hear from God. Hear His voice. Be actively doing or working toward what He last told you to do. When you're in that moment of waiting, sometimes you want to do some real crazy stuff, and that, like, jump ship and do something completely different, like go back to fishing, like Peter did. Be actively doing or working to what He last told you to do. Position your heart patiently, not anxious, and expectant with faith, not doubting. Intentionally worship Jesus, especially when we don't feel like it, and don't fight the process. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I've got some stuff that I'm waiting on the Lord to move on. And I think as individuals, we've all got that list of stuff that we're waiting on God to move on. Yeah. And I think as a congregation, we're waiting on God to do stuff too. Big stuff, little stuff. It matters how we wait on God. It matters. So let's wait on Him well. Let's, at the end of the waiting season, be found faithful and endure the season that He has us in.
So good.
If I can have everybody stand. Andrew, if you can come up. I want to pray for us. Oh God, we want to be found faithful in this thing. For everyone who's waiting right now, God, I just ask You for grace and for renewed vision, that we wouldn't cast off restraint. That we'd be focused and we'd be intentional to wait on you in the way that you've prescribed, that we would have the prescribed blessings. Everyone who's doubting right now, God, would you increase faith?
Yes, Lord.
God, everyone who right now is feeling anxiety, God, would you give peace?
Yes, Lord.
Help us to be patient in the waiting room, waiting for you to act. God, in your kindness, would you come to us, God, that while we wait on you, we would find you as faithful. God, we thank you for your character and for your leadership, that you can be tested. You can be tried, and every single time be found faithful. God, you say that we will not be ashamed, we will not be disappointed for those who wait on you. And God, we trust you that every word that you've spoken will not fall to the ground. It will come to pass. And God, for those of us who doubt, Lord, would you help us in our unbelief?
Yeah.
God, we love you. We want to love you, God, rightly in the seasons of waiting. And God, we thank you for all the breakthroughs and for all the answered prayers that are coming our way. We love you, God, in Jesus' name.